Welcome to Upside Down Mirror, one woman's true story of a twin flame journey, a reflection of true love, true hate, and everything between, where everything and nothing matters at the same time. Shatter as mirrors of shadows cut through indestructible layers, testing the sands of time. Hello, everyone. My name is Rebecca. Welcome to Upside Down Mirror. This is a podcast series unveiling the true story of my twin flame journey. Everything in here is the truth, and I am divulging the most vulnerable aspects of my life in telling this story. This story entails quite a bit of paranormal activity and events. One of my fears about telling my story has been that the events in the story will seem made up or exaggerated. However, I've gotten over that because everything I say is the truth, and it is within the truth that we find freedom. There is a lot of healing in talking about such freedom. If I can help one person, then this whole podcast is worth it. This story is about my tumultuous, turbulent, yet transformative journey to my beloved twin flame. Some days, I just reflect on this journey, and it seems so surreal, bizarre, but yet outstanding. I will talk about soulmates, false twin flames, true twin flames, and the purpose behind it all, and the key to getting through it. There will be many lessons in my story. Many of my own clients go through their own twin flame journeys, and they'll contact me in moments of grief, shock, and panic. People going through this experience often believe that no one can truly understand what they're going through, that their broken heart is unmatched. I always respond, "Trust me, I understand. I know that you think that no one else understands such heartbreak and that this is the end for you. However, I promise you that if you surrender, live from your heart, and take guidance from your own inner mirror, everything will work out divinely for you." I too have been in a place of deep grief, heartbreak, and sorrow. I have played victim, forgot I was a survivor, lived outside of my heart space and through my ego. I have truly given up who I am for somebody else. I've done many things that I'm not proud of. But now I understand that I need to trust everything, that everything was unfolding around me in exactly the way it was supposed to. Surrender, trust, faith, and living from my heart is what saved me. Gosh, where do I even start? Well, first, I want you to know, within our realities, that things aren't always what they seem. Dark can appear as light. Light can appear as dark. I'll be talking about false twin flame, real twin flames in this series. Of course, my true twin flame is who I married. However, I'm not going to reveal which one is which until the end. This is because I do not want you to attach ego to the events of the timeline of this story, it is important that you keep an open mind, as you should in your own life as well. There are many ways that this could have ended up. I will also make up pseudonyms for both of the twin flames that I am speaking of. My wedding date to my true twin flame was on February 20th, 2020, in Deep Creek Lake, Maryland. This is where we met. My amazing, beautiful guardian parents have divinely guided me through this journey. You will hear all about them in this series. They told me I had to get married on that date. February 20th, 2020, when you add that together, is an 8, which is the infinity symbol. There's really no such thing as a beginning or an end. We are everything and nothing at the same time. Each breath that we take is a death and a rebirth. February 20th, 2020, the day I got married, was right before COVID-19 hit. Of course, I didn't know about it at this time. I just knew that my guardian parents were adamant that I get married on that date, and it was urgent. Reflecting back now, I can see that I was to get married before all of the world chaos. I realize how important getting married that exact day was. I was marrying my beloved in the exact spot where I first laid eyes upon him. As our wedding vows said, we have now come full circle. We were getting married in an infinity symbol. He was standing in the divine masculine of the symbol, and I was standing in the divine feminine. One of my best friends, who is the embodiment of Lilith energy, the shadow energy, was ordained to marry us. When it was time for us to come together, to be pronounced as man and wife, we both stepped into the zero point of the infinity symbol. This is a representation of the vacuum, the zero point, or the God creator energy, that is a result of the divine masculine and the divine feminine coming together in harmony. I was told that our marriage, among thousands of other marriages in the world, would help to transcend and alchemize marriage as we know it. Marriage is supposed to be about truly loving one another, breathing in each other's breath, looking into each other's eyes, telling each other your deepest, darkest secrets. Marriage is about being vulnerable and open. Marriage is a new beginning to the journey that the two of you have decided to take together. As I am looking into his eyes during our vows, it was hard for me to believe that he forgave me after everything I'd put him through. It was a miracle that we were where we are now. My false twin flame haunted me up until the night before my wedding. I just lied down after a long day of getting ready for the most beautiful day of my life. After all, every night up until the wedding, I was reflecting on how lucky I was to be where I am now after such a long, tumultuous journey. I drifted off to sleep like usual, except this time there was an energy that was familiar to me. It took over my dream, and I was being levitated through the room uncontrollably. I was stuck on the ceiling and couldn't get down. The feeling of evil pulsated through me. I started screaming my ex's name to get me down. In my dream, I thought he was the only one that could save me, that he was the only one that had the power to get me off the ceiling and save me from the evil. Just then, a very gifted student that is in my class, who is a dream traveler, came in my dream. She's screaming at me to take my own power back. Rebecca, it is you. It is you that has your power. Take it back. Do it now. I took a deep breath in my dream and I lowered myself from the ceiling on my own. I found it within myself to remember my power, and I came floating to the ground with her. But when I woke up, in real life, there was a fire alarm blaring in the room. It's one of those dreams where it doesn't really do justice unless you're in it. It took me a while to fall back asleep, but I was happy that I regained my own power and very thankful that my friend Jamie came to help me. I imagine that this dream might have taken place because only a week before my wedding, my ex called me, begging me not to get married. Of course, I full-heartedly made my decision. I was marrying the true love of my life. Okay, now I'm going to push pause on this story and give you one of my first lessons in the twin flame journey. We as humans are here to become enlightened. When we become enlightened, we will have our own heaven on earth. Until then, we are transcending through the shadows within us. All of our 3D experiences are a reflection of the journey that our consciousness is going through. Our goal in life is to transcend the shadows through our life experiences and awareness. We do this on very deep levels. We're not just dealing with the conscious mind, but the subconscious mind, the genetics, the collective energies in our auric field, and us on a soul level. Our goal as humans is to purge the stagnant, stuck, low-frequency energies so that we can live as angels on earth. The twin flame journey is what allows us to get to this process. Please understand that we create our own experiences. We are purging shame, doubt, guilt, fear, abandonment, rejection, martyring, not only for ourselves, for everybody within our genetics and in the collective. Your heart space is the only place that this can successfully be done. Your heart space is the command center. This is where you can take a deep breath, allow your consciousness and awareness to go into that command center within your heart, and allow this to be your saving force. This is where you access that zero point or that God energy within. Our reality is a movie that has been conjured up from our inner being to tell us the very shadows that we are trying to fight through. In order to successfully transition through the shadows and embrace our authentic self, we must understand that we are not victims and look at what is playing out in our reality as ego aspects of us that need healed. All that is expected of us in life is to be truly in love in whatever we do, and embrace our authentic selves, unconditionally love who we are, and accept every bit of our shadows and love them unconditionally. So I invite you to take a deep breath and allow your own consciousness and awareness to go into your heart space as though your eyes, nose, and mouth reside in your heart. In this space, everything just is. There is no duality. There is no good. There is no bad. It just is. Okay, so let's continue to the story. Let's go back to 1997. When I met my ex-husband, the father of my 3 children. I consider him a soulmate. We had our differences. I divorced him in 2009 with the gift of three amazing children. In my opinion, a soulmate is someone who meets you where you're at in your journey, like a brother or sister soul to assist you where you're at in the process for now. I believe that a soulmate can help you karmically, but it's not the exact mirror image like a twin flame. From my experiences with soulmates, you can feel like you're in love with them, laugh, cry, enjoy, or even hate life with them. But it's nothing like the twin flame. When I was 10, I saw myself walking down the road with my twin flame. But I could only see what he looked like from the back. He had dark hair, he was tall. I couldn't see his eyes, but I knew his eyes were brown. So I entered into the marriage with my ex-husband, who had blonde hair and blue eyes, knowing that he wasn't the final one for me. I tried to fool myself in my early 20s by dyeing his hair dark. I remember his friends making comments to him about how I should accept him for who he is. He was who I needed at that time in my reality. I wasn't prepared for true love. I was career oriented and did not want to spend my time dealing with emotions. I knew what to expect from him. I didn't let him in fully. I didn't really want to trust someone because of my past experiences. And we did a good job raising our children. I purposely chose someone I didn't trust at a higher level so that I could protect myself from the unpredictability and vulnerability of true love. I told myself this was all good because I was raising my children and furthering my career. Towards the end of the marriage, there was an incident in my life that caused me to go full force on my spiritual journey. I traveled to North Carolina with one of my good friends to help her move, and in the process, I was drugged and raped by a man that was staying in the house. Not having your memories can be quite devastating. My husband at the time was far from supportive. And this incident is one of the big incidents that led to our divorce. I wanted to find out what had happened to me. I wanted my memories back. And I wanted to heal. This started my journey into Reiki, hypnotherapy, and NLP. This move, this class, was one of the best things I've ever done for myself. It opened up doorways to many healings and synchronicities that would lead me to where I am today. I'm sure that many people out there, even years before their divorce, knew their marriage was over. So the grieving is often done way before the divorce is final. In 2008, when we finally separated, I was ready to embrace true love and allow myself to fall deeply. I felt it. It was time. You know when the time is right for you. There's a feeling of excitement and something to look forward to, ready to take that journey within. I've always been very fast at manifesting. We manifest all the time, for good or bad. Everything is a manifestation. So I've always had to watch what I say or think because it will present itself in my reality. So 3 weeks after my separation, I went to Deep Creek Lake, Maryland to enjoy and celebrate single life with one of my very best friends. I was pretty straight-laced and rather predictable at that time. I was never very wild. So what I did that night surprised my friend quite a bit. I walked into this tavern, immediately heard the sounds of the cover band playing and people dancing and laughing and having a blast. I was completely sober. I hadn't had any drinks. And I walked toward the stage to get a look at the band. I had one of those paranormal experiences when I laid eyes on the bass player. He took my breath away. He He was tall and very sexy. And of course, he had brown eyes. He was one of those guys that you just look at and time freezes. But I knew him. I've never seen him in this lifetime, but I 100% knew him. I saw wolves on the stage around him, and he honestly took my breath away. I looked at my friend and said, "I have to have that guy." And she started laughing and said, "What is wrong with you?" It was a feeling of urgency and a little bit of desperation. Like I hadn't seen him for an eternity, and he's finally came. Like I'd been waiting for him for a really, really long time, and now he's right in front of my face and I'm scared to lose him. But he doesn't even know me yet. After all, he was like my vision. Tall, dark hair, and brown eyes. My friend kept saying that I was crazy and laughing. But I knew I wasn't crazy. I waited for him to stop playing and take a break. I walked up to him at the bar as he was ordering a drink and asked him to play Brown Eyed Girl. I don't really remember what he said after that. I was just taken aback by his sexy English accent. I really didn't care what he was saying, even though I was listening to him. It's like I wanted him inside of me. I'm just being honest, that's the way I felt. Just like I said, it was like an eternity and I'd missed him. He was very sweet and had an innocence about him. I watched him play the entire night and we stared at each other. At the end of the night, when he came off the stage, he leaned against a wall as I was talking to somebody else. My eyes locked with his eyes. He nodded his head, and an unseen force pulled me towards him. I literally ran into his arms and we just started making out. That was an amazing first kiss. That kiss made time freeze. I will never forget that kiss. We actually got kicked out of the bar for making out so much. And of course, my friend was still thinking I'd lost my mind. She just chalked it up to me getting a divorce. But I knew it was much, much more than that. There's no way I was going to let him leave me. He lived in Michigan and I in Maryland. That is quite a journey. I invited him back to my hotel room. We made love that night. I felt very, very comfortable with him. He knew what to do. He even knew that I liked my neck kissed, how I liked to be touched. Even though he really knew nothing about me, everything was just so natural. He had to leave in the morning. I was very nervous because after I just had a one-night stand and then all of my old programs and paradigms came back about what guys think of girls that do that on the first night. What chance did I really have with this guy? I just wanted to say to him, please don't leave me again. I wanted to tell him that I knew him. I wanted to tell him that we belonged together. He just looked at me, obviously not remembering the stuff I remembered, and mentioned something about me getting a MySpace and hitting him up on MySpace. My heart sank. I still remember to this day what his face looked like as he turned away from me and walked away to go back to Michigan. His name was Sean, and I felt like I had lost Sean forever. I honestly was heartbroken. I remembered him, and I knew he remembered me on a level where we made love and kissed and hugged and laughed as though we had known each other for a very, very long time. But cognitively, he did not remember me. But I knew I was not insane. I'm very intuitive, and I knew what I felt was real. I spent hours making a MySpace that would impress him. I really knew nothing about MySpace, but really wanted to keep in contact with him. After making a perfect MySpace page, I finally friended him and started to communicate back and forth with him, asking him basically how he was doing. He responded very quickly that he was spending a lot of time with a girl at work and that he was going to ask her out. He was indicating that he could not fraternize with me. This was about a week after we were together, after he had told me he did not have a girlfriend. I was crushed, even though I barely knew him. I moped around for days, where everyone who knew me that I confided in thought I was going through something mental, that I was sad over a guy that I just met. It wasn't until much, much later, when I talked to him again, that I found out that our little meeting is what gave him the courage to ask this girl out at work, because I had boosted his self-esteem so much. I was keeping track of the entertainment venue at Deep Creek Lake, waiting for his band to come and play again, and I would mysteriously just show up there once again. Throughout the next year, I went about my life quite happy with the freedom of being single, enjoying my career, hanging out with my friends, and having an amazing time with my children. And then I decided it's time to manifest my twin flame. So I sat in the hot tub, because water is a conduit for manifesting for me. I tend to get some powerful responses from water. So I sat in my hot tub, taking some deep breaths, calling in Saint Germain. Saint Germain, after all, he's all about the twin flame reunion and the beautiful purple-violet flame. Went into my heart space, so I thought, and asked for my twin flame to come. I could feel him, I could hear him, I could sense him, I could even smell him. I invited the purple flame to come around me with Saint Germain. Just basked in the frequency of having a twin flame. And I said, as Theta Healing had taught me, it is done, it is done, it is done. I put that manifestation aside and went about my work. At that time, I owned a mental health and primary care practice. So I was quite busy, and I do a lot of hiring. I needed to hire a psychiatrist. The psychiatrist that was leaving referred a colleague of his, a student, that needed some moonlighting hours. This is how I met Gabe. I'd always made a rule never to date a doctor. They seemed quite narcissistic. And I remember thinking there's really no room for flexibility in an MD's mind. Now, maybe I'm stereotyping, and I apologize for that, but that is just what I was thinking at the time. So I got dressed, nothing fancy. I had just gotten out of the infrared sauna, so my face had been sweaty. I had no makeup on. I looked decent enough for an interview, and went to Deep Creek Lake to interview the psychiatrist that was interested in starting my practice. We met in this little quaint coffee shop at Deep Creek Lake. It was one of my favorite coffee shops, the perfect place for an interview. It was a little crowded that day, but I looked up and immediately knew that that was my interview. There before me was a man who made me smile out of shyness even though I hadn't said hi yet. He looked young to be a doctor. To be honest with you, he was gorgeous. Also tall, dark, handsome, brown eyes. And as he looked in my eyes and he shook my hand, there was a gleam in his eyes, one of humor. I could tell he was studying me. It kind of felt like a test. Who would be the most nervous? Immediately, I remembered the way I was dressed, the way I looked. Definitely not how I would have dressed if I was anticipating meeting someone that was so good looking. I pushed that from my mind. After all, this is a professional interview. So I was very professional. We sat down at a table, looking across at each other. Every time he smiled, there was so much more in his smile than what his words were saying. We began having small talk, talking about each other's careers, what the job opportunity consisted of, his intentions with the job. And then he just stops, looks me straight in the eye, as I feel that spark go up my spine. He smiles and he looks at me and he says, "Rebecca, you've manifested me here." I about fell out of my chair. I was shocked. This was a clinical interview. I gave no indications of my spirituality. I was extremely professional. I looked at him and said, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "You manifested me here." And I said, "I do many manifestations." I was nervous because I felt like he was in the bathroom when I had manifested, or he was inside my brain or spying on me. He just looked at me and smiled. But in that conversation, he had told me how he wanted me to move to California with him after he had graduated from his residency. I said, "I have 3 kids. I can't move to California." And he said, "They'll be just fine." My breath was literally taken away. This was within an hour of a clinical interview. And this man knew I had done a manifestation, basically told me he was my manifestation, and talked about my children and I moving to California with him. That is crazy, I remember thinking. He suggested that we leave the coffee shop and go out to dinner because we were both getting hungry. He took me to dinner at this beautiful restaurant. And I say he took me to dinner because at the end of the dinner, at the end of the quote unquote interview, he paid. And when I told him, "It's me that usually pays for the business dinners, that's what I do during interviews," he said, "Well, it was really me interviewing you." That was a little cocky, but I was definitely intrigued. This was quite a paranormal experience. So he takes my hands, he looks in my eyes, and he's like, "Call me. Look over my resume and call me." And then he leaves. Wow. My mind was absolutely racing. Talk about the unexpected happening when you least expect it. I get in my car and I'm getting ready to drive home, which is about a 45-minute drive from Deep Creek Lake. I turn on the radio, and then I hear it. That Monkey Grinder, the band that Sean was in, would be playing in 1 month at Deep Creek Lake. My heart raced with anticipation. as I planned to go back there with my friend. Meanwhile, I was rather enjoying my thoughts about Gabe and what had just happened as I was driving home. Little did I know that my life was seriously about to change. Thank you for listening to the first episode in this series of Upside Down Mirror. I invite you to continue to take this journey with me. Please look out for episode 2 in this series.